We were doing so well. All right, so back to the movie. No, that was just cracking me up, because even they go to, like, I'll just call it the Den of Thieves, on the island in the Philippines. You know, the super secret island that apparently anybody can find. And he just walks in, takes over the DJ booth, you know, and I was like, is this... At the end of the movie, it would have been better if he was just, you know, pressing buttons on a laptop while everyone else was fighting with guns and stuff. That would have made my day, actually. I'm like, oh, all right, that's all he does. Okay. But, yeah, he, like, Ruby Rose, like you said, she had her thing. Chicks with guns is always sexy. The other lady, I'm out of respect, I'm not going to butcher her name. I just...
She's basically playing a Bond girl.
Yes. And that's what Triple X was supposed to be, like, the anti-Bond anyways. Mm. And they carried it through. And it's funny, because when was the last movie? I don't even remember.
State of the Union came... Oh, you know how I remember? I think it was, like, either 8 or 9 years ago. You know how I know? The joke they make with Ice Cube.
What did he say? Oh, he said, what, 11 years?
It was like either 11 years or 9 years. Because you remember when he was like, if there's any problem, dial 9.
It was 11 because, yeah, it was dial 9. So, yeah, it was, yeah, 11 years. Yes.
And then when Ice Cube shows up, it's like such and such, Triple H class or whatever, waited 11 years for somebody to dial 9. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I just lost it. Because it was like, because that's something that you would, that does not belong in 2017. Like, this type of, they don't make these type of movies anymore. And it's a shame that they don't, because everything is all super serious and everything. Like, the only people that get goofy is Netflix. But Netflix is so, when Netflix movies does it, they so low budget, it just comes off as trash. Like, this is, like you said, this is a movie that belongs in the 80s and 90s. They just updated for, you know, 2017. Like, we're going to take this super diverse cast from all over, throw it in, and make an old school goofy ass action movie, and we gonna assume, like, you know, you're in on the joke. And yeah, so she was basically playing a Bond, you know, because one, she's drop dead gorgeous, like, and I remember when she first showed up when they were still in the plane, I'm like, ooh, like, it's funny, Vin Diesel tried to get her to be in Fast 7, but it was scheduling conflicts because he's busy making Bollywood movies. So Vin Diesel knows his talent. Like, he has an eye for talent. So
wait a minute, is this the lady that got in trouble in India because of, was it making this or making a Bollywood movie? I remember that was a big story where there was like two big Bollywood stars got in trouble for, it was, I think, kissing on screen or.
Yeah, that's a.
Was that her?
That's a. It might have been her because she kissed on this one, and I know it has happened before where that's a big thing where they don't do, and when people do it, it's an uproar. Which it's funny, it's, you know, how, I mean, it's just a cultural thing, but it's just funny, yeah, reading and hearing about stuff like that. Like, these days, I don't know if it was her or not, but yeah, I know if she did, then I saw the scene where it happened. So, but it's kind of like, you know, she's part of the team. You wonder, like, are her and Donnie Yen dating and everything like that? And then it's like, okay, she's a Triple X agent too. And she's like, you know, her and Vin Diesel bond. Like, she's a woman version of Vin Diesel and everything. Where you could kind of see the attraction because they're both exotic. Like, you know, we make jokes about Vin Diesel. There was a time, and I know it's hard to believe now, but there was a time when people looked at Vin Diesel how they look at The Rock now. Like, Vin Diesel used to be that cat's ass, like, every, yeah, I
hey, listen, he's still a good-looking dude. Believe me, yeah, I heard so, about it, so.
Yeah, like, if he walked out the club, he's gonna leave with, like, you know, some hot women, even if he wasn't rich or famous. So, I know we crack jokes about Vin Diesel, but Vin Diesel is Vin Diesel for a reason, and it's not like he's 90. Like, he's not as svelte as he used to be 20 years ago, but who is?
Well, he got in shape, like, because he purposely took his shirt off in this movie. So, yeah.
Yeah. And another joke, like, yeah, he probably, finally, I could take my shirt off in a movie and not have to worry about it because The Rock's not around. Because there's no other guy. Like,
wait, don't forget Tyrese Gibson. That guy's in pretty good shape, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, the only other guy that's, like, you know, that's really, that was, like, kind of known body-wise or his shape was like Tony Gonzalez, and he had on his uniform the whole time, so it didn't matter. Yeah, yeah, so no, you know, you have her doing that
in his own movie. So
yeah, so you basically have, you know, her doing that role, and then, you know, figure out what she's about and join the team. And it's funny how they played off of like stereotypes, because when she joins the team, it's a scene when they're in the van, and like Ruby Rose is giving this look and everything, and she's like, "Oh, are you going to get this whole basic bitch speech about how I got to keep my eye on you because I can't trust you?" Because it's kind of like that plays out in movies where, mm-hmm, I don't know about this. Is she working for the other team? She going to turn on us? And she's like looking. She's like, no, she just handed a gun. It's like, you know, everybody needs backup. Unexpected, but kind of playing like, and it's funny where they're playing off of tropes that you expect movies to happen, because movies do that all the time. It's like, we know you probably watch those type of movies, and we know what you're thinking, so we're going to have fun with it. And that's what this movie was about.
This movie, well, underneath the surface, because I will always argue this is a movie to show you how awesome Vin Diesel is. That's it. And has some really awesome fight scenes.
We all do what we... It's funny where...
I do the same thing if I had a budget.
Yeah.
And, yeah. No. I'm not criticizing him for it. I'm just saying... Yeah, he made sure you knew how awesome he was. So, yeah. Like, Tom Cruise has got the humility not to do that, but he still makes sure you know he's awesome.
You know what Tom Cruise does now? His thing is he wants to show everybody how much he loves the audience. Like, I'm doing all of this. I'm getting my ass beat and jumping off and building stuff because I want you to be entertained. Like, I want you to – it's almost kind of like – Jamer, you know, I want you to love me type thing. That's almost Tom Cruise now. Like, I'm going to work hard and do all this because I want you to be entertained. And I want you to know that I care enough about you to do all this so you can be entertained. Like, I want you to appreciate my hard work. It ain't no CGI bullshit. Like, I'm doing this, and I'm not doing this for me, because Lord knows I run enough to run 2 marathons. Even though I look good running, I'm doing this because you like it. And I think he got to the point where he has to know before you get the movie. Tom Cruise has to know that whole "I run in every movie" is a thing.
Oh, he does. His Twitter profile picture was a GIF of him running for a while. Yeah, no, he knows. Yeah,
yeah.
And it's funny. Look, it's funny you brought that up, because I was thinking about this. Tom Cruise runs a lot in his movies, and he's gotten better, like better looking doing it. Vin Diesel running in the beginning of this movie, that was uncomfortable. That's a guy that doesn't run much.
Yeah.
So,
you know what it shows? Most people don't run much. Oh, and you can tell who runs and who doesn't run. Donnie Yen runs. like Tony Jaa, like small people run. Like Tony Jaa runs. And you can see it. Speaking of running, yeah, I know we jump around the movie. Are we going to talk about the whole freeway highway scene?
Yes, that was that's where I was going, actually, because that was my favorite scene.
What the heck? Like, I'm watching this, and it's like, okay, because you got like 3 different things going on at the same time.
Yep.
You got Donnie Yen and Vin Diesel jumping off of bridges to land on trucks, and then running down the freeway, fighting each other, ducking cars.
In oncoming traffic as well.
In oncoming traffic. Yes. You got that. Then you got Ruby Rose and the Indian girl running, seem like they're running like 40 miles an hour, running down the bridge chasing Tony Jaa. Mm-hmm. And then you got the Hound and the DJ chasing Michael Bisping in trucks and cars. Like, what's your plan? Here's my plan. I'm going to crash my truck. I'm going to find a barrier and hope the angle is high enough so I can crash my ride in his ride. And I'm just watching this. I'm like, you know what?
You know, it's funny. Watching the movie, I was like, yeah, that's pretty stupid. But it worked, so I was like, all right, that's interesting. That was different. But then hearing you say it out loud like that, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's pretty stupid.
I mean, it was stupid. It was fun stupid. It wasn't like roll your – some stuff is like stupid, roll your eyes stupid. This one is like it knows it's stupid. And it's like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, yes, it is. We're going to do this. Like, if you – because is it any more or less stupid than when they're racing – like you said, on the James Bond.
Okay, let's talk about that first. Let's talk about that real quick. Because this, again, is where Donnie Yen gets on the motorcycle. He at least knows this motorcycle, so he knows what buttons to push, and he knows how to get the ski out. Vin Diesel just stole this bike out of the blue, and he knows perfectly how to work the thing. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to allow it. Whatever.
I'm sure that's not his first time. And you know why I allow with him and that character? Because he's like Mr. Extreme Sportsman. So if anybody would know, like, it was different if it was like a CIA. It's funny where if this was like a CIA agent or like an Army SEAL, like a Navy SEAL, like some Army Ranger, it'd be a lot less believable, which is hilarious in hindsight. Where we used to talk about Fast and Furious, like, how these guys go from street car racer to like a military strike team. Like, basically that, from Fast 1 to now, that's how that's happened. We just laugh as, like, I guess they've been doing it long enough, so that's a thing. This one where Vin Diesel's background explains him doing all this weird shit, because it's kind of like, he does this for fun. So, yeah, I'm sure it's probably not his first time he's done that, but that scene was a, I want to know, who thought of that scene? Like, we're going to have them race on bikes first. After the whole, you know, action scene in the jungle, all that stuff that happens that we just glossed over because, like, yeah, this movie's not boring. There's a lot of action goes on.
We can't allow this to be a three-hour show. I mean, that'd be longer than
the movie. You've seen Russian roulette before with guns. I've never seen Russian roulette with hand grenades.
Okay, I don't know much about grenades other than they explode, and they're scary when you find one outside your door at your apartment. But is that how a grenade works, that you can press a button and it stops counting down?
I guess those do, because it happened. I'm sure the grenades come in all shapes and sizes, but yeah, I remember seeing that scene in the previews, but it was just funny to seeing that, like, what the hell is going on? It's kind of like, you know, I'm just, because Donnie Yen's doing his old, you know, you're asking the wrong question, you're asking, am I willing to kill? Like, no, are you willing to die? Let's find, like, his thing is, like, he made the most sense in the movie where he knew, even though the whole, like, they never get into the whole, why did he want the box? Because it's kind of like he was a Triple X agent that didn't trust. He was almost like the other side of Vindy's, like, I don't trust the government either. And people lost their way. And, like, you were supposed to come and save the day. You working for these assholes. And it was almost like, kind of like, they looking at Vin Diesel like he's a sellout.
Yeah,
and that was the whole crux of the movie, where you look at their perspectives, like, we're the good guys too, and Samuel Jackson spent all this time telling us how special you are, how you're gonna save the day if, you know, push comes to shove, and then the first time we see you, you working for these jackasses. So nah, I'm doing my own thing, and then I'm doing my whole Jason Statham thing, like, you know, you came and messed up my plan, so I'm going to show up wherever you are and come mess up your plan. And that's basically what he said. Like, you know, you messed up my plan, I'm going to come mess up with yours. That's why I'm saying you stole my girl. That's not really his girl. I don't know if they were, like, dating or they were partners or what that was. That whole dynamic between the two of them was weird.
Yeah, and especially when at the end she hooks up with Vin Diesel. But, all right. Going back to the freeway scene. All right. Well, first, sorry. What cracked me up about the BMX. I know it's not the motorcycle. They're racing on the water, and I'm like, this is really cool. I was giggling like a kid watching it. Like, this is a lot of fun. But it had the old, like, 80s, 90s action movie stuff of, you see, like, they're not actually in the ocean until, like, the end of the scene. Like, they're going over, like, the inlet, little slip islands, all that stuff. So they're going between water and sand. And there are people on these small, like, slips. They don't hear motorcycles coming or see them. So all of a sudden, they come near the sand, and everyone starts screaming and running away from them.
Yeah.
And then out of the blue, there are soldiers on the beach shooting guns at them?
I was about to bring that up.
Where, like, the fuck did they come from?
They got dropped off by the helicopter, I guess, 20 minutes ago. That's just in case.
Did they, like, dig out foxholes and just hide just in case they came that way?
And then you don't even get to the funniest part. Donnie Yen escapes. Vin Diesel's there. And all of a sudden, Ruby Rose just shows up out of nowhere. Like, what happened? Like, where the hell did she come from? She was on foot.
Okay. remember that, because that happens a lot in this movie. I thought about that too, but my favorite thing is Donnie Yen and Vin Diesel, both of them, they both lose their bikes. Vin Diesel walks back. Where the hell did he go? Like, did he have some sort of breathalyzer underneath the water? He just swam underwater the whole time? He just kind of disappeared, which, again, whatever. I wasn't mad.
I've just resigned myself to maybe it's the same universe as Fast and Furious. And Fast and Furious has a universe where they have an airport where you can take off for 10 minutes.
That was on the other night. 5 and 6 yeah. were on. I was up till 1:30 in the morning and then said, you've seen these 100 times. Go to bed. You have to be up in 3.5, 4.5 hours. So, but yeah, and that scene is still funny. So
yeah, but it was just a lot of that where people were just doing stuff that's not humanly possible and just teleporting. And
then
you get to the whole scene at the end. First, the scene where the guy, because you're wondering like who's the villain in this movie, because the first dude was like, okay, he's barely in it. He don't seem like a credible villain, like the one that has the box. And I was wondering, okay, you normally computers tend to do good and cold. Electronic equipment.
I know where this is going.
You know where I'm going. Yeah, electronic equipment tends to do well and cold. So I'm wondering, why the hell? First of all, it's funny because even Ruby Rose put it like, why are they in Detroit, of all places on the damn planet?
And she
brought it up. Yeah, and it's kind of like, whatever, like they decide to hide in Detroit, fine. Give Detroit love, shout out to RoboCop and Beverly Hills Cop. Okay, so they get in this building, and he has all of these Heat fans on. And I'm like, it doesn't come into play until the end of the scene, but they never say, like, why? Did he just know, like, the Heat plot, well, you know, I played Metal Gear Solid, and I'm just in case, like, it almost seemed like a boss fight from a video game. Like, yeah. Okay, because I was wondering, like, why is he there sweating? Like, why are these? And it's like 40 of them. Why are these heaters out here? Uh-huh. It's not like it's winter time. I'm like, what's the damn point? And you wonder what the point until? Okay, I can't see them. Let me switch on thermals. It's too much heat. So it's the whole scene, like, oh. To set up a cool scene.
Yeah.
That's what this is for.
Yeah, because he couldn't have just sat behind, like, a concrete pillar. You know, just set it up behind one of those, but...
But then it's kind of like, okay, so then they switch on thermals, and she can't see him because it's all this heat. So how they play it off, and it's, you know, the whole read between the lines line like they did earlier in the movie.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing it because I saw the commercial, like, okay, this is gonna be cool. And he's doing Vin Diesel, like, you know, setting him up and walking toward him. The whole scene played out fun, even though it made no sense whatsoever. It was almost like, you know what, this is gonna be cool in the movie, so we do it. And yeah,
yes. There was a lot.
I don't know how he didn't, like, it's funny where the shot was awesome, but it wasn't so perfect. Like, he even moved his hand, like, I got nicked.
Mm-hmm.
I like that little
because Shahid. No one is as awesome as Vin Diesel in this movie. That's why. It couldn't have been a perfect shot because he's the only one that's going to do stuff perfectly.
Hey.
Yep.
You got to be everyone wants to be the star of this story. What can I say? And it helps when you have the pencil. So
you're the producer. I no.
Okay. So before we get to the end, we've had tech people in movies before, and we've had, like, the nerdy ones and everything and all like that. I've never seen a nerdy, horny one.
No. Guys, yes. A female, yeah, absolutely not. Nope.
Yeah. And it's, I know Hollywood likes to take, I don't know what Hollywood likes to do more, taking beautiful women and uglying them up for drama so they can get Oscars. Or taking beautiful women and try to make them look, oh, this is this nerdy, mousy tech girl. It's like, okay. Arrow pulled that off because when Felicity first showed up, you saw her in that way. And it's kind of like, oh, she's, you know, attractive. She's nerdy and quirky. But it was funny, and I remember we both talked about it. The first time she went out undercover and she took the glasses off and she threw on, like, I forgot that dress. It's like, yeah, she
sign her up.
She looks, yeah, it's kind of like they were hiding her under a damn canvas. Like, it's hard now looking at her. I guess she's been playing long enough where you can kind of like accept it, but it's like you realize how she really looks. Imagine if Laurel, I'm trying to think of the, imagine like if Laurel Sarah was on, like, you know, Arrow, and they played it like Felicity.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
how they, that's almost how this came off, because kudos to her. Well, I didn't even realize that was her, because it's like, this girl was a glamorous, like, who is, like, I knew she was a movie. I'm like, well, who's this girl? And then it sunk in, like, wait a second. That's what's her face? And I just started laughing, like, because they got in there, she's talking about safe words, and if you need drugs, I could get you this, and yada yada yada. And it's just, I'm laughing the whole time because the conceit of Vin Diesel in this movie to have her play that role was just like I couldn't see Jordana Brewster playing that.
No, absolutely not. No,
basically, like, even like Fast and Furious movies where you had all these, you know, these beautiful women, they all play glamorous roles. Like, even in Fast 7, when Ramsey was in there, like, yeah, she was a hacker, but they didn't try to ugly her up or make her look nerdy. It's like, oh no, we know how she looks. Just accept the fact that she's a beautiful woman that knows how to use Photoshop.
Yeah. That, all right. In, there's no sarcasm in anything I'm going to say. I didn't like the tech nerd. I thought she was kind of annoying. But what I did like, and this was it, kind of like the theme of the whole movie, is she starts off, and, like, the sexuality part was kind of refreshing. It's always nice when, you know, good-looking people do that, of course. But then there was that, and, of course, that also ties into I'm Awesome, because as soon as he walks in, I mean, it was a panty-dropper moment for her. It's like, God damn, all right.
Oh, but, and she, yeah, she was, oh, like, she wanted to dump his head or something, like, oh, yeah. God. This is, you got tickets to the gun show. It's like those tattoos. Like,
it's like, have you never seen, like, a guy before? Like, all right.
Like I said, who are we to doubt the awesomeness of Vin Diesel?
True. But what I did like, and this is, and it really goes to the greater part of what I liked about this movie. This was a, I don't want to say message free. There was no, like, hidden agenda, other than just pure, like, I don't want to say fun, because I think that kind of undercuts it, but it was a joy. It was a joy. Like the sexuality of everything, the violence of everything, the acceptance of guns surprised the hell out of me. Because one, let's get this out of the way. When she drops that gun on the ground, it's not going to fire anymore. As soon as her hand is off the trigger, it doesn't fire. Whatever. I just saw a guy go through the ocean on a motorbike.
Hey, shout out to True Lies.
Is that, oh my God, that's right. That's what that was, wasn't it?
Jamie Lee Curtis did the same thing and dropped the Uzi and it fell down the steps, and yeah.
But what I did like was she starts off as being, I'm scared of guns, I'm scared, I can't do this, blah, blah, blah. She shoots that gun one time, she murders somebody. I mean, I know she's protecting herself, whatever, self-defense. If you're in Florida, stand your ground. And and she turns back and goes, this is fucking awesome. I'm like, this is 2017, where if you're on Facebook enough, the popular notion is that guns are the most evil thing in the world. And here's a movie that's basically flying in the face of that, where you have a impish little girl, nerdy tech chick, who's hypersexual, apparently, that loves guns.
You know what?
You would never have thought you would see that.
Yeah, it's because she's influenced by other hot girls that have no problem with guns, and they're doing it for the right reasons. And this whole thing is like, because even then, how many times, like, I'm trying to think, did Vin Diesel have a gun?
You
know, I'm trying to remember.
Yes, he did. Well, all right. It had blanks in it in the beginning, which was blank. Weird.
And then even the scene when they were in the Philippines, he kicked the gun to what's her face? Like, I know he.
Yeah, I don't know. That's funny.
That's funny. I'm trying to think. Everybody was shooting people except Vin Diesel, which is...
Yeah, because even in the plane, he was fist fighting.
Yeah, and you know something else? He was all clean living, like, you know, stay focused, I'm taking cranberry. Wouldn't drink, and then he got the drink, and he poured it over his shoulders, like...
Yeah.
That's straight out there, like... So he's this whole... I'm straight edge, and I don't shoot. I'm like, I'm in this violent movie, but I'm just punching people. Like, I just realized that when you brought up her with the guns, because I'm like, there's a lot of guns in the movie, but I'm trying to remember if he might have had guns in his hand, but I don't remember him actually. He might have shot at people, but I don't know if he shot anybody.
And I honestly don't remember him shooting at anybody, other than like he knew it was blanks.
Yeah, and that's...
That was actually an uncomfortable scene. I was like, that's really joyous for... Like, I know, obviously it's a movie, but just the idea of, like, seeing someone, like, really shooting into a crowd of people is like, God, that's...
Yeah, and the way he did it, he just told... Yeah, and it's kind of like... The way he did it, he was so nonchalant, like, okay, it had to be blanks, because he just had this blank... Like, he just had this, like, bored smirk on his face, and he just got one arm doing this whole Arnold from Commando gun sweep. And it's funny, like, Vin Diesel's so damn sneaky, where it's all those little things you don't even notice until we're talking about the movie. Like, I didn't even think about him not being gun thing until you brought up her. And I do remember the whole, I don't drink and all this stuff. And yeah, so then she, you know, she enjoys the gun. Then she tried to do it again, and she, the whole I trip and fall. Like, it's like she, you know what, I know it came off as annoying, but she was so adorable doing the role and so earnest, and it's just so out of her. Like, I've seen her in other stuff, it just seemed like out there where I just went with it. And then, okay, you know, they're at the end, they're running out of bullets and stuff after doing all the fight, and they're looking, okay, I got a knife, we go on three. And then who shows up? I wish they had saved it.
Okay.
I wish I hadn't seen the previews.
Let's jump to the end then. Yeah, because when there was a scene where I thought Ice Cube was going to show up, just based off of the preview, because when you mentioned it to me about, do you want a spoiler or not? I'm like, no. And I really didn't want to know. I was like, all right. I was hoping Ice Cube would show up just because it'd be fun, and I want to get into Ice Cube later. Before we end, and then, and I know this is a long show, but whatever. So when he showed up, it was like, all right, I knew he was showing up because the dumbass commercial ruined it, but it was still pretty fun. So I didn't mind the surprise being spoiled so much then, but it still would have been better if they wouldn't have said it, if they wouldn't have showed him.
Yeah.
So. But I'm all right. I did like how they did that. You know, he just comes in with the grenades, blowing everybody up, and then another '80s tribute: rock, paper, scissors, grenade launcher. And I just started laughing. Like, that's what? That's not even necessary.
And had Vin Diesel's old car.
Yep.
Like, you know, somebody told me to hold this. They didn't say why, but they say I know when I know, and now I know. And that's the fact where, you know what's surprising about it? I would have thought they would ignore the second one.
So yeah, I did too.
Because nobody from the flight, you know, because the beginning of the second one is like, and they glossed over the whole thing. Is like, you know, they said, oh, I knew you faked your death. How? Because the beginning of the second one is like, oh, Vin Diesel died. That's why we need a new Triple X. And we're thinking, okay, we're writing him out the series because he didn't want to do it, and we want to do the movie anyway. So we're doing it anyway with Ice Cube. And, you know, Ice Cube don't need to do it. Like, Ice Cube got enough stuff on. Like, he's not starving for work. Like, he's got enough stuff on his plate, got enough money where he didn't necessarily have to come back. So the fact that he came back for the movie and they fit it into, like, you know, Triple X is like, we're this big fraternity of people, and we take care of each other. I'm just laughing. I'm like, How about that? Because it's almost kind of like when it's almost like when Fast and Furious brought back old Hillbilly Boy from Tokyo Drift when they had no reason to do so. It's kind of like, you know, the movie happened. We don't need to pretend like it didn't happen. And we talked about everybody going to Tokyo eventually for 8 years, so we might as well give him a check. So, yeah, that was a cool scene because one had if I didn't see the previews, it probably would hit more, but. I knew he was coming, but I was like, okay, when's he coming? And then it's just funny how they fit the whole thing. Like, I was just waiting for somebody to dial. So this whole time, he's just chilling, minding his business, living life. And then as soon as somebody hit him on his cell phone, yeah. I'm going to get Vin Diesel's old car. I'm going to grab a grenade launcher and handle business. Because why? Because this is the world we live in.
Okay, so the end of this movie should have taken about an hour and a half itself. Because it felt so rushed, and there was so much missing from it. And this is also where, in the theater, for some reason, the house lights came up halfway. It was pitch black in there like it's supposed to be, and all of a sudden the house lights come up halfway, and I'm like, what? And then the primitives that came in right before the movie started... You know, the guys that were yelling?
Wait. What did you call them?
Primitives.
What is it? Planet of the Apes.
Wait. So all of a sudden, they start talking. Like, they were quiet the whole movie. The movie's still going on, mind you. The house lights just turned up. And I was like, that's kind of weird. All right, I figured they'd turn them down, but whatever, they didn't. These guys took it as an excuse to just feel like they're at home. All of a sudden, they just start talking. And I don't mean like in a whispered hush. It was blah 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 blah. And they kept getting louder and louder. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? The people next to the wife, I thought it was like a little girl. Turns out it's like some little boy, whatever. He stands up, starts taking selfies of people. Like, without the flash on his camera. He just starts taking selfies of himself. Like, he turned his back to the movie, to the screen, and started taking selfies of himself with the screen in the background. He started taking pictures of the person he was with next to him. The guys who were in front of him walked back up and were like, "You want food?" No? Okay. And go back down. I was like, what? And I finally, like, the kid sat down, and then, like, the adult he was with stood up. He starts taking pictures of the kid watching the movie. And I looked at him and was like, are you retarded? And Lisa started laughing, and the guy had no idea I was talking to him. Who else in this theater could I possibly be talking to other than the primate that doesn't understand social situations? And he just going on taking pictures. And I turned and looked at Elise. I was like, does he not understand I'm talking to him? And I'm not like this. I'm not aggressive like that anymore. But something just came out of me. And he sits down, and then they start talking. Like, yeah. And then I can hear the kid going, ch-ch-ch-ch. He's taking pictures of the two of them. He's taking pictures of the floor. I was like, this is the conclusion of the movie. Do you guys not understand this thing? Have you ever seen this sort of entertainment before? Like, this is a story in front of us. This is a story you don't have to read, basically. But you have to pay attention to figure out what goes on. All of a sudden, the people in front of us, and these are like 6-foot walls. It's one of those new theaters where you have the seats that sit back. I can see their heads, and they're like having an argument or something in front of us. But the movie, luckily, was so loud, I couldn't hear him, but I could see, like, the exaggerated motions. And I kept looking at Elise, and Elise is just staring at the screen like, this always happens. Like, every time there's someone noisy, it's always next to her. I don't know if they just don't see or don't care, but I've never had that problem. So, the movie's going on, and they finally sit back down. The kid's still taking pictures of himself. She's blocked it out. So they start going, and all of a sudden they start talking again. And I'm like, do you guys not understand how this works? And there's just blah, 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 blah. Oh, my God. So finally the movie ends. as annoyed as I sound now, it didn't ruin my enjoyment of the movie at the end. That's how entertained I was by this goofy-ass thing. When they left, it looked like a war zone of food and popcorn. I mean, it was pop. It was almost as if they threw a few kernels of popcorn in their mouth and just decided, eh, if I need any more, I'll just pick it off the floor, and threw the rest of the popcorn on the ground. There was a half-eaten hot dog mushed into the carpet. There were, like, nacho trays all over. And it was so... I was so embarrassed. I'd had nothing to do with this. When the guys came up to clean, I was like, dude, that was not us. That is not our mess. He's like, what are you talking about? And he looked. He's like, are you kidding? I was like, nope. I was like, those guys were having a party up here or something. He said something that was like, of course, like young high school kid. He says something to the person in front of him, and he's like, what? He comes up, and he just goes, what the fuck? Which, you know, I know you're not supposed to do that when you're like an employee of a place, but it just seemed fitting, so I just let it go. I was like, obviously, I wouldn't be telling anyways, but it was like, oh, boy. So.
Okay. Whoa, folks, who just heard that? I didn't have that experience, so I'm glad I didn't have to worry about that. But you got to hear Jerry Mays call people primates and savages in 2017.
Well, what are you and supposed, they sound like they deserve. To, I'm not going to be nice to these ingrates. Fuck them. Hey, idiots. Learn how to act in public, and then you don't get called a primitive. So.
Yeah, and I think I thought I had. Yeah, your bad movie experiences seem to trump mine most of the time. So anyway, we can talk about the end. So besides the stuff that happens on the ground, Vin Diesel and Donnie Yen are on a plane, and Donnie Yen is beating up 15 people, while Vin Diesel just gets to fight two, because that's how it works. But, you know, Tony Gonzalez, who, yeah, I would have... Another thing I thought I would never hear to say, Tony Gonzalez would be the main henchman in a... action movie. Like, I know that used to be a thing, like, you know, Howie Long did that in the 90s, but I thought we didn't do stuff like that anymore. But hey, I'm here for it. It's 2017, let's go for it. So you see that he has his magic gloves. They already had
thank you for not glossing that over that.
Yeah, because it's funny where they built the gloves up in the beginning of the movie, like, these gloves do this, this, and this, be careful with them. And then they brought up the whole fact that Tony Gonzalez and Vin Diesel do not like each other. Like, they've been beefing the whole movie. So you can see why, yeah, we're going to have a fight. And then the whole, I'm doing my calculations and realize, it plays out like, joke, you know, how long it would take for you to land from here to here. Based on the old, you know, they made that joke earlier. So I get to the toilet thing. Like, I finally figured out my math. I'm going to need two flushes. And then, okay, so Donnie Yen gets shot by Tony Collette. And then
not before him himself getting shot, which I thought they're not going to kill him off, are they?
Mm-hmm.
Because that was a real concern to me. I thought like, uh-oh, this isn't actually going to happen, is it? So
hooks her up, so she gets parachuted out, and you're wondering, like, okay, so it's a parachute, so I guess she'd be okay. He falls out the plane. He grabs the parachute. You never see him put it on. And okay. You can jump into it. Yeah. You never see him put on a parachute.
Nope.
But you just see him just walking with a gut shot. Oh, hey, what happened to such and such? Oh, the ground broke or fall.
Okay, so... Okay.
But we didn't get to the best part, but I just wanted to jump to that, see how ridiculous, like, they played it off. Like,
okay, so wait, we got to go back to Ice Cube for a second, actually. Because... I'm with you. He's just sitting around waiting for that phone to ring. Who the hell knows where he lives? Did he live in Detroit in the first one? Or the second one? Okay.
No, so, this was... He left, like, the second one takes place... He was in jail, they broke out, all the stuff happened in, like, D.C.
Okay.
And then he left, but he leaves town at the end of the movie, so they never say where he goes. He just leaves.
So, he somehow gets this call. Who knows where he's at? You know, just for the hell of it, let's say he's in the Metro Detroit area. You already have gridlock, they showed. Well, he shows up at the end after all this firefight, you know, with his grenade launcher. He must carry on him, his person, at all times. And he has Vin Diesel's car. It's like, what? Wait, did you get an express plane? Like, they didn't even try to describe that maybe Samuel Jackson helped him, you know, get there or something. It was just... eh, nah. Oh, no, it couldn't have been, because he thought he was dead, too.
Yeah, everybody thought Sam. Oh.
It's like, how the hell did he get there?
Somehow that sentence that you just said and all the other sentences that we say, not the most ridiculous thing we saw. The most ridiculous thing we saw was, and we are people that have seen Fast and Furious movies and that physics. Okay. So, he's taking a large-ass jumbo jet. And somehow he knows how to fly. And he aims it at a falling satellite. Jumps out the damn plane.
Well, after is after 10 minutes of weightless fighting.
Yeah. And, you know, I live for this shit. And aims it for the satellite. Jumps out the plane with no parachute, hoping against hope, and tells dude, make sure you're recording this when this happened. This is what I'm going to do, and it's going to be awesome. And he just jumps out of a plane that he aims at a falling satellite, hits the satellite with no problem to save the day, grabs, you know, a pair, you know, I think it was like a crate with a parachute, spends 15 seconds trying to get the parachute to work. That crate basically explodes when it hits the ground. Like, all you see is like a big wood explosion, and he just walks away with no problem. And everyone else is just chilling, like, including Donnie Yen, who last time we saw had got shot and fell out of a plane trying to grab a parachute. Like, yeah, that's this movie.
Okay, so one thing you also forgot, the guy that got shot, the munitions guy, I can't remember what his name was, the Hound. Well, let's go with the Hound.
Yeah.
He got shot twice. He shows up at the end as well. I don't remember this, but Elise said that he had, like, he did a shoulder shrug and he was like, ow, that hurt. But they all show up. He should be bleeding out, mind you. So should Donnie Yen, because he got shot as well. Unless there was a scene that got cut out where he put on the body armor that Vin Diesel was talking about. Which, okay, I'd be fine with that, sure. But when Vin Diesel flies out of the plane, I'm sorry, that was cool. And
yes, it was. Oh, like, nothing I say is, like, discount the fact that it was awesome to see. It just, it was like, yeah.
So, he gets on top of the whatever paper. I don't know. They had a giant, like, parcel of paper, I guess. I don't know what the hell that was.
Yeah.
But he gets the parachute out, and I'm like, oh, he'll be fine. Boom! He hits the ground. It's like, wait a second. You just showed this thing was at least 20,000 feet away from the ground. He pops the chute, and he's on the ground in 2 seconds? I don't think that's how parachutes work.
Life comes at you fast, and I just realized this show has lasted almost as long as the movie did, and we might as well get to the end. The whole funeral scene.
Oh, no, wait, no. There's one part we have to address, though. So, Ice Cube is in this movie for 5 minutes at this point. No one has any idea that he's involved with this, okay? And I know why they did this, but the whole scene with him and Vin Diesel sitting on the car, it should have ended when Ice Cube gave him back the car and was like, you need me, whatever. Donnie Yen should have been sitting next to Vin Diesel having the conversation about, we pissed off the wrong people. Not Ice Cube, because no one knows he's involved at all. He could just walk away.
Yeah, but they know who he is. Like, once, okay, they say dial 9 and da-da-da-da. So we dial 9. Also, this dude with a grenade launcher with a triple X tattoo shows up.
All those people are dead. No one's going to report him?
No. I'm talking about, you saying people going to know. They're going to figure out, okay, we saw a black man with a grenade launcher that showed up to help these jokers. That's the whole thing. The whole plan was, okay, the satellite crash, and they all die, and we blame them. That didn't happen. So they're all alive. So it's like, it's people around that know that they're alive. Like, the people we saw are dead, but they weren't the only people that knew what was going on.
Well, Tony
Collette's
dead. So,
okay.
You know, and with that plane crash, that probably would have covered for them. But one thing that this movie, and even Fast and the Furious, those movies do, the police and the fire department are very slow on the uptake.
Yes.
They never show up, which is an old action movie staple. Like, this is supposed to be like a modern action movie, but it uses a lot of old action movie tropes, which is not a complaint, because The you know what? Action movies were great.
I don't remember even seeing the cops in the movie at all.
Maybe when they were in San Juan? Is that where he was? Where was he in the beginning? Wherever he was in the beginning.
Okay, yeah, that's the beginning of the movie when they were there telling him to get down off the damn tower. So,
yeah.
But other than that, it's like, yeah, fire EMT services it must have been a strike.
It is Detroit, so the fire department's a little spread a little thin, so are the cops. So I can see that, but.
Yeah, so basically they're at the funeral. And what got the biggest laugh or second biggest laugh in the theater I saw was the hound there singing with the choir.
I love and that part. I love that.
It's such an old trope because first you hear somebody singing, it's like, okay, you know who it is. And it's such an old joke, but it's an old joke because it worked. He's just into it. And Michael Bisping are bobbing their heads. And I'm just like, this should not be as funny as it is. Like, it's just such an old joke, but he is into it, just hitting those notes and everything. And you see, you know, they're all dressed to the nines and stuff. And then who gotta be too cool for school? Vin Diesel's up there. Mm-hmm. He must have a thing where I don't wear suits in action movies because he's there just like he just got out of jail.
Yeah. Well, remember, Ice Cube wasn't exactly all that cordial either. Like, all the people who were involved in the movie are sitting in the same section. He's over on the side in, like, his, you know, black leather jacket, sunglasses, just going, like, looking down on him. So, you know, but yeah, but nothing as bad as Vin Diesel, though. So.
Yeah, just sitting there. And then, but of course, it sets it up, you know, he's sitting there by himself. And then Samuel Jackson just strolls his ass in there, like, you know, basically playing Netflix Nick Fury. And at this point, I'm just watching it, just laughing, like, you know, I did this for a reason, yada, yada, yada. You keep on doing what you're doing. And then you think that's, and then he leaves, and Neymar is there, like, nope, not a scratch on.
Yep.
And, like, you know what? Perfect way to end the movie. Like,
but I did like the fact that Vin Diesel was actually surprised. Like, it wasn't like, I knew you weren't dead. He looked actually surprised, or not shocked, because Vin Diesel's range isn't that great. He looks surprised. So, that, it was almost like, I'm so awesome, whoa, someone got one over on me. Alright, I'll have to pump up the awesome quotient on that, too, because even the Tony Gonzalez fight, which I forgot to point out, Tony Gonzalez needed superhero gloves to beat him. And he still couldn't beat him, even with, you know, the man with the iron fist gloves, he still couldn't do it. So, so I'm giving the movie thumbs up. I mean, there's no doubt about this. I'm still not sure it's a good movie, but I enjoyed the hell out of it. So,
I mean, the whole thing is, I don't necessarily do good and bad movies as much as, did I enjoy the movie or not? If I enjoyed the movie, then the movie did its job. I enjoyed the movie, I'd see it again. So it did its job. Like, this is, it's funny because before we go, I saw, it reminded me like kind of, I saw a bunch of movies between this and the last time we did a show. And I had like two completely different experiences. Like, I saw Hidden Figures and I rarely cry at movies. I'm not that type. I cried twice watching that movie. Like, that movie was just, was awesome. And it was just, like, emotional. Like not crying, like, sad, just crying happy. That's never happened to me at a movie before where just you get hit. And that happened more than once. My wife looked like, what's wrong? Like, nothing's wrong. Like, it's just, I'm just, like, feeling this movie. Like, it just told such an awesome story. And I'm amazed that I knew nothing about that before the movie came out, where, you know, it was these black women working behind the scenes with NASA to basically help get them in space. And Taraji Henson has to run, like, walk 40 minutes to go to the damn bathroom. like a little thing like that. It's like kind of like, you know, she gets pulled in and she's working with, you know, the people keep sleeping on, like, how it's quick. I'll talk about it for like a minute. It shows, you know, the whole racism and everything like that, but it does in a way where everyone, it's not a monolith. Because even the husbands and men of, like, the women, they kind of like, you know, they ain't going to let you work for NASA. They kind of like, you know, dragging them down because men are men, no matter what color sometimes. It's like, you know, don't waste your time and stuff. And they handle different ways where Octavia Spencer, you know, she's going to be calm, cool, and collected, but she's going to be, like, slightly forceful. She's trying to be a supervisor role, but they don't get it until the end. And I got to give a shout-out to Kirsten Dunst. I didn't even realize she was in this movie, and I could not – my brain could not accept the fact that she's in the movie. I'm like – because she looks like she's, like, a race – I couldn't picture Kirsten Dunst being, like, a racist-ass 40, 50-year-old woman. And she's in this movie, and it's like – you know how you see something, but your brain won't accept it? Mm-hmm. That's how she was. Like, I'm watching, I'm like, I think that's Kirsten Dunst, but that can't be. Like, she not that old, and she couldn't act like this. Like, that whole casual racism, like, I ain't getting this nothing about y'all people, but we got to do what we got to do, and we, your ass ain't ready yet. Like, that type of, you know, gentle racism that's just so aggravating. Like, she played that, like, everybody in that movie played their roles all, like, the women, Kevin Costner, like, it's the reason why he was the man for a long time. Even ask that goddamn Jim Parsons from Big Bang Theory. Like, him playing this put-upon supervisor that's just egotistical but just want to do the right thing is like, yeah. So that was an awesome movie. And then I saw Underworld, the last one.
Oh, okay.
I know those movies were rated R. I would just say this. I would never thought the day I'd see Kate Beckinsale. You remember the, we watched Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
You remember Edmure, like the guy that didn't die in the Red Wedding? The one that got married, but the only one that didn't die, like he was kidnapped all that time. Okay. Remember him?
Yeah.
So he's in that. He's out. Okay, so he's like the main villain in the movie. You know how the movie ends? She rips his spine out.
Cool.
like Mortal Kombat status, like, I dropped my damn jaw. Like, this isn't one of those, it's not like, it's a violent movie, but it's not that type of movie. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching this, I'm seeing prim and proper Kate Beckinsale. Like, that movie was, you know how you talking about, like, old school action, gory stuff? That's what that was with British actors. Like, and that's probably the second best one they did. It's a shame it didn't make as much as the other ones, because I enjoyed the hell out of that movie, and it definitely empowered women. Like, I know we going on a little tangent. You know how they treat women's sexuality in movies? Like, sometimes they make you, like, if you don't cut out certain things, like if a woman enjoying herself too much, they make it, they make it NC-17. You know that?
Yeah.
So I was thinking about that, where the scene, like, one of the main women villains is basically, you know, like, telling this her henchman, like, you know, you're here to be pretty, don't be thinking anything like this, you do what I tell you to do. And then basically makes him go down on her.
Nice. Awesome.
Yeah, like, you know, while she's doing this whole movie villain speech and anything like this, like, I'm gonna get the power, da 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 da. And for a good, like, 10 to 15 seconds, they just focusing on her talking and enjoying herself. And I'm like, yeah, you can, a woman directed this movie, and I'm not surprised, because, yeah, so I would good say I definitely enjoy. Yeah, so it's been that type of thing. Like, so far I've been enjoying my movie experience. I definitely enjoyed this one. We got a week. Like, for me, next thing is Resident Evil that comes out next week. I know that's not your thing. I'm going to see that. And then you start getting John Wick.
And the big one. Yeah. It's like, I wanted to see XXX. I'm happy I saw XXX. It wasn't on, like our five we were looking forward to. John Wick's coming up. The new Logan preview that came out, I wish I would have saw on the big screen, but we got the old one. That makes me want to see that movie even more. And, yeah, we're off and running. So, time to go search out loans so I can afford all this stuff. But I'll be sneaking my own drinks in, so I don't have to wait 20 minutes in line for somebody to buy every goddamn fried food at the movie theater and then smash it in the ground.
We're going to wrap up.
Oh, my God, yeah, I got to wrap up.
And I got the feeling that John Wick is going to do very well from everything I see. And I think Logan is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And you know how I know people, you know, the thing that tipped me off about it? People have confidence in movies when they, like, we're going to show you 30 minutes of our movie early. You only do that when it's like, I want to show off what we did. Like, I believe in it. Because normally it's like stuff like that. It's kind of like, you know, you might screen 5 minutes, or you might do it for Comic-Con, or at the other end, it's like, we ain't going to show nothing. Like, you wait till you come see the movie. This one is kind of like, no, we're going to show you, you know, the first 40 minutes of the movie. We want to show you, you know, I know how you feel about Fox X-Men movies, and I know how you feel about the last one, anything like this. Yeah, and everything I've seen from reading the pre, I think that's going to be an awesome, sad movie. Like, it just looks like. Yeah. And I think it plays off the fact that, you know, this is what we, the last one, and we grew, and I think more than anything, we grew up with the X-Men, like, the X-Men franchise kind of started first, and we grew up with Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart being these roles. So to see them now, how they look in the previews after, what, 15 years? First X-Men came out, what, 98? So...
No, I was living here when X-Men came out, so it's got to be 2000.
See, I thought it came out before 2000.
I'll leave that one.
Oh, 2000. It came out 2000. Okay. So, 16, 17 years we have had these characters in our lives, and this is what we got, the last one. So to see them look like that is kind of like, yeah, it came out 2000.
Okay. But, so, all right. Yeah. Well, listen, I don't want to cut you off. But we are officially longer than the movie, so we got to get out of here. So, thanks for listening, everyone. Next week, I got a few movies I have to watch here that we will cover. And then it gives me another week to talk about the top, was it 90s or 80s?
Yeah, 90s.
Okay, because I think, yes, 80s might be impossible. So, although this 90s movies, our top 90s, yeah, top five 90s movies, or action movies. Yeah. So that's next week.
Yeah, we picked the 90s because even that's probably as hard as it was. That's a lot easier than the 80s and 2000s. 80s because action movies dominated, and 2000s because if you count comic movies, it's damn near impossible.
Yeah, so that's what we're actually going to plan ahead for a change. But I'm going to get out of here. Stunker Annie on all the social media. Subscribe for Stunt Granny, and everything will be good. So, thanks, guys, and I'll let Shahid take us out.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and X take care of his own. We are out.